the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Giant, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made.
So he threw his nets into the rolling sea, and he said, "Look at all the fish that came to me." So Jesus said, "Peter, you come follow me." Jesus said, "Peter, you come follow me. And instead of catching fish, you'll be catching men. And in my Father's house, your life will never end. Your life will never end. Your life will never end. Your life will never end."
Your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
We are to eat the Passover supper with Jesus again. I've enjoyed so much the last few Passover seasons that we have spent with Jesus.
So have I. I like to hear him tell about the very first Passover supper and why the feast is still called the Passover. Ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians.
Yes, when Jesus talks about it, I almost feel that I was there myself. Night was just beginning to fall.
Father, why did you kill the very best lamb for Mother to cook? Shouldn't you save the best for our sacrifice?
This is a special occasion, my child. For tonight, God will lead us out of the land of Egypt.
And why are you painting that blood on the doorpost, Father? I don't think that looks very pretty.
It looks beautiful, my son. For it means that when the angel comes to persuade the Egyptians to let us leave Egypt, persuade them by doing the only thing that will make them finally agree to our leaving, when that angel comes to slay the firstborn of every house, he will see the blood sprinkled there, and he will pass over this house, and you, my dear son, will not die.
Come, my dears, the supper is ready. Do you all have your traveling clothes on and your shoes? Is everything packed and loaded on the animals?
Mother, this bread, it's not the nice light kind. You usually make tea with me.
No, my child. God has specified that this meal must be prepared in haste and eaten in haste so that we may be ready to leave Egypt the moment that Moses gives us the word. There was no time to make the leavened bread, so God decreed that we eat unleavened bread.
Besides, my dear ones, unleavened bread, bread with no yeast, symbolizes life with no sin. And God wants us all to have asked forgiveness for all sins and to start this journey out of Egypt only after seeking forgiveness most earnestly.
But do we have to leave Egypt? This is our home.
It is the only home we have known, son. For it was over 200 years ago that Jacob and his children started their journey from Canaan to Egypt. But it has never really been our home. We are slaves here. Always we must do exactly as we are told. We must always do a specified amount of work for the Pharaoh before we can do any of our own work. We must live where we are told, plant what we are told to plant, go where we are told to go.
I guess it would be nice if you didn't have to work for Pharaoh every day.
Moses told us that when we get out of Egypt, we are to remember this Passover supper, always. And every year we are to eat another supper just like this one and give thanks to God for leading us out of Egypt.
And we mustn't forget either that this supper points forward to the time when the Messiah will deliver us from all sin.
My beloved disciples, we sit at the Passover supper, the unleavened cakes and the unfermented wine before us. As ye know, the Passover supper is eaten to commemorate the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Thus has that great deliverance been ever kept in the minds of the people. I give unto you a new ordinance, which shall forever commemorate the deliverance of earth from sin and the power and dominion of Satan. I take this unleavened bread. O God, my Father, bless this bread to these who in belief and obedience partake of it. Take, eat. This is my body. O Father, bless this wine to the strengthening of the obedience of those who partake of it. My disciples, all of you must drink of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for man for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The eating of unleavened bread and drinking of the wine, this do ye in remembrance of me.
We will, Master.
Yes, Master.
I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me.
Oh, that is practically the same thing that was said of the serpent in the Garden of Eden.
Oh, the master seems greatly troubled.
I feel that some great and dreadful calamity is about to come upon us all.
Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me.
Betray you, Lord? Certainly none of us 12 would betray thee.
Deal treacherously with thee, impossible Lord.
For what cause would any of us betray thee, Master? And to whom?
Whose heart among us could give birth to such an evil thought, Master? We are your disciples. We have been privileged to hear thy teachings. We have shared in thy wonderful love. Thou hast shown great regard for our physical and spiritual being. Thou hast brought us in close communion with thee. Surely, Lord, none of us would betray thee. Lord, is it I?
Lord, who is it?
He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me.
Master, is it I?
Thou hast said.
What thou doest,
do quickly.
What is this all about? What have I done? You're jealous because I'm superior to all of you. You fail to appreciate me. I shall leave.
And Judas went out into the darkness of night.
I tell you about my betrayal before it happens, that when it does come to pass, ye may believe that I am the Son of God.
Jesus, my Lord, thou knowest that Judas will betray thee, yet thou washed his feet and broke bread with him as well as with us.
Did not David the psalmist say, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy"?
Do you mean, then, that we are not to divorce ourselves from, nor ignore him whom we think to be evil? Perchance this may leave him a prey to temptation or drive him into Satan's battleground.
Even so. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Where are you going?
Oh, hi, Rico. I'm heading for the grocery store. Mom forgot to buy carrots for our carrot stew tonight. Can't have carrot stew without carrots. That'd be just hot water. She said that we were going to drive back to the store, but I told her I'd take care of it.
On your bicycle? That's kind of a long way.
It's good exercise, and besides, there's enough poison in the air already.
Poison? What do you mean?
See all those cars and trucks?
Well, each one has an engine, and each engine is burning gasoline. And the exhaust puts pollution in the air. Then we breathe it. Too much pollution can poison us. So I figure if I ride my bike to the store, a vehicle, which, by the way, creates absolutely no pollution, I'm helping the air stay cleaner.
I'm impressed.
Not only that, I told my mom and dad that we needed to figure out how to drive our car less. You know, like going to town and doing a bunch of things. Not just one. I figure that if everyone did that, we'd have a lot less dirty air and a lot more clean air to breathe. By the way, where are you heading?
I'm going to the park. Mom gave me money for a taxi.
You mean one of those stinking, gas-burning, air-polluting taxis?
Okay, I see what you mean. Mind if I ride with you?
No problem. I can even take you to my house for supper. Do you like carrot stew?
Love it.
And then we can use your taxi money to buy mangoes.
I'd better call my mom and ask if it would be all right.
Tell her you're riding in the city's only non-polluting taxi and that the driver is a really nice guy.
Just drive.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
And dark is boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Caught in His Own Trap. All day long, Brian thought about those cookies. When he looked at the problems in his second grade arithmetic book, he seemed to be counting cookies instead of adding numbers. The stories in his reader made him think of the smell of cookies in the oven instead of the sights and sounds mentioned in the stories. Mother had started baking the cookies while Brian and his sister ate breakfast. She told them they could have some for their after-school lunch with a glass of milk. By lunchtime, Brian was sure he couldn't wait much longer to get home and taste some of those cookies. Several thoughts chased themselves through Brian's mind during the afternoon. "I'll run home right after school and get some cookies." But conscience whispered, "Mother said to wait for sister." "Always wait for sister. Don't come home alone." "But this is special. Mother won't care. I can take care of myself." Conscience, "Sister has the key, and mother said to wait for her." "I can get through a window. The kitchen window is usually left partly open." Conscience, "Climbing through the window is dangerous. Mother said so." "But I can't wait a whole hour for sister's room to get out. Besides, sister is a slowpoke." Conscience, "Mother has said many times that it is not good to eat between meals. A light lunch after school, with sister, is another meal. And cookies are a special treat for only once in a while." "Oh, I'll drink some milk with the cookies. It won't hurt if I have my treat an hour early." So by the time the second grade room was dismissed, Brian had convinced himself that he had to go on home without waiting for the sixth graders, including sister, to be dismissed. Brian slipped from the room and ran from the school grounds before his teacher could miss him. He knew she would try to keep him with the other children who always waited for older brothers or sisters. Brian ran home so fast he seemed to have wings on his feet. He couldn't help thinking how much faster it was without sister poking along. The house was on a hill at the edge of town, about a mile from the school. By the time Brian had run most of the way to the foot of the hill, he was already tired. But he puffed up the hill as fast as his legs could carry him. He dashed across the porch to the front door, forgetting for the moment that it was locked. When he found that he couldn't get in the door, he slumped into the porch swing to catch his breath. Soon, Brian recovered his wind. He walked around to the back of the house where he was sure a window would be partly open. Sure enough, one of the kitchen windows was open at the top. Brian stretched to reach the bottom window and managed to get his fingers under it. He pushed up, and the window moved a little. It was free. Now all he would have to do was to climb up on something, push up the window, and crawl into the kitchen. Then he could have the yummy chocolate chip cookies. Brian scurried around behind the garage. There he spied an old apple box. Too bad the garage was locked. There was a good stepladder in there. Oh, well, the old box would do. He carried the box to the house and set it on the end under the window. Then he tried to clamber up on the box. It was old and wobbly, and at first he couldn't get on it. He turned the box so that it leaned against the house. He took hold of the windowsill with both hands and managed to pull himself up so that he was standing on the box. He could see the cookies. Two plates of them, one for him and one for sister, were on the table near the window. Now he wondered how to get the window open wide enough and keep it open long enough to crawl through. This window, like the others in the house, had to be propped up with something to keep it open. The top section opened only a few inches when it was not locked. Brian stood on the shaky box and pushed up on the bottom window. It moved quite easily. He could smell the cookies now. Oh, how delicious they would be. He tried to hold the window up with one hand while he struggled to get one knee on the sill, but that stubborn window wouldn't stay up. Too bad he didn't have a stick, but to get one now would mean all the trouble of getting down from the box and climbing up again. Finally, Brian succeeded in getting one elbow on the sill so that his arm propped the window open. He grasped the inside of the sill with his other hand and gave a mighty push on the box with both feet. His body lurched upward so that his head and one shoulder went through the opening. Maybe he could make it, he thought. But the push on the box caused it to tumble on its side, and the motion of Brian's body twisted his arm holding the window. Down came the window across Brian's shoulders. "Help! Help!" Brian screamed, but no one heard him. Sister was still at school, and the nearest neighbor was across a field on another small hill. Brian kicked his toes against the side of the house. He dug his fingernails into the windowsill, but he could not move. He was caught like a mouse in a trap. When Sister's room was dismissed, she looked for Brian. Not being able to find him, she went to his teacher. "Where is Brian?" she asked. "Oh, I don't know," the teacher answered. "I missed him, but I suppose he went home with some of the other children. I haven't seen him since our room was dismissed." "He wouldn't go with anyone else," Sister said. "He always waits for me. Mother told him to." Sister and the teacher looked all around the school. They looked by the sandbox and the small swings and teeter-totters where the younger children usually played. They looked by the ball field with some of the older boys where they were playing 500 while they waited for rides home. They looked in each of the classrooms and the hallways. They looked everywhere they could think of, even among the shrubs by the flagpole. But Brian was not there. Finally, Sister said, "He must have gone home by himself. I don't know why he would, but I guess that is what he did." She gathered up her books, lunchbox, and sweater and started home. Sister hurried up the hill and into the yard. "Brian! Brian! Are you home?" she called between puffs. No answer came. She was really worried now. She took the key from her little purse and opened the front door. A strange scratching sound came from the back part of the house. Sister cautiously walked toward the kitchen. What a sight met her eyes as she came to the kitchen door. Directly across the room in the back window was a pale face and one feebly dangling arm. A little mouth was trying to call for help, and the toes of two small shoes were faintly scratching on the outside of the house. Sister rushed across the room. She took hold of Brian's arm with one hand and lifted the window with the other. Then she let Brian fall to the ground as gently as possible. She ran out the door and around to the side of the house where Brian lay gasping for breath. "Oh, Brian, Brian," Sister was crying now. "What if I hadn't come? Oh, Brian." A weak little cry sounded from a sad little boy as he began to recover from a hard lesson on the hazards of disobedience.
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955. This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.